We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
How about that new intro, huh? Howdy, guys. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. They won.
Yeah, welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, guys. Definitely pumped to be back. We hadn't been running podcasts for last month or so. We've been both very, very busy for very different reasons. But yeah, we'll definitely get into all that here shortly. But first and foremost, Roy, how was your birthday, man?
Birthday was great. Got up and went and played golf. I hadn't done that in a while, so I'm sure I'll pay for that, you know, probably tomorrow. Golf muscles are their own set of muscles that you literally don't use for anything other than golf.
Right.
But went and played golf, had drinks afterwards, had a great dinner. Megan made stuffed shells, one of my favorite recipes that she does. So I just had a really good evening. Had some friends come over, but it was good. It was hot on the golf course, and I get that it's hot in Texas in August, but there was no breeze, no wind. So it was like, hit your ball as quickly as possible so you can get in the cart and create your own breeze.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what you have to do a lot of times on those slower wind days. And we just played up in Tulsa not long ago, and it honestly really wasn't bad. I mean, that was right in the middle of this kind of, you know, cooler wave we'd been dealing with, you know, a little bit of storms and stuff, less so with the weather. It got a little warm on the back end, but I mean, can't complain, because
it was just dead. The trees weren't moving. It was nutso.
Yeah, so that's all fun stuff there. But yeah, now it's been an interesting last several weeks, past month. Feels like everything's been going on all different spectrums. But Michael Early out here still putting in the work after we stopped talking about it. I feel like we've just been getting commits left and right for baseball, which has been nice.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, even though the sports ended, you know, we're still seeing a lot of momentum. Obviously, spring football starting back up. Aggie soccer's had some scrimmages, or at least has had one.
Yep.
But Elko's still doing well on the trail. You know, picked up another commitment yesterday, kind of a surprise commitment, because he was supposed to announce today, and he just kind of decided to pull the trigger last night. Mm-hmm. But a big D-line commit.
Yep.
And obviously, once spring ball starts, you know, everybody gets excited and, you know, wants to hear news, like, how's everybody looking? And it's the same report every year. So-and-so has put on great weight. So-and-so is slimmed down. This dude looks really good in pads. So right. I don't I'm not huge into the spring ball reports. You know, really all I kind of where I place my focus is just, you know, hoping everybody stays healthy. You know, that's the biggest thing is, or just summer camp. I'm sorry. In spring ball, you know, if they get hurt, they get dinged up, they've got time to recover. But once you hit the summer, you know, somebody gets dinged up, you're talking about, you know, we're not that far out from football starting.
You know, not at all.
We're only a few weeks out from the season starting. And so, you know, any injuries right now it's kind of one of those where if you start the season with an injury and it nags you all season long, so you're never quite at 100%. So just really more than anything, hoping everybody stays healthy in summer camp. But yeah, you know, it's the calendar just keeps turning, man. You got Premier League on the horizon as well, which I'm super excited about.
Yep.
Because West Ham's got a new manager, and we look at it, four signings in the window, which is nutso, and four good signings.
Yeah, Liverpool in the same boat on the brand new manager situation. Granted, very, very different situation there, but here we are.
Yeah, a little bit different. But yeah, nonetheless, it's kind of a new era for both of us. So I'm excited for that.
Same.
But, you know, just looking towards the football season, yeah, obviously both of them, but talking about college football, I think there's, I don't know if you caught it. I believe it was yesterday, Coach Elko at the end of his presser, he was like, he kind of said, hey, you know, I got a request for you guys. I understand, you know, you got a job to do, and you know, your job is difficult at times. I get it. He was respectful of the media, but he said, "I want you guys to stop asking questions of the players about last year." And I personally loved that. I loved that comment. He did it respectfully. He wasn't a jerk about it or anything. And I understand that, when you have the new era, they want to make these comparisons. But I really liked it because it's very forward leaning in the foxhole. It's like, look, last year doesn't matter to begin with, but now that we're getting, like, we're in camp and we're really focusing on this week one in the season, like, please look forward. Like, stop asking these kids about last year. So I love that. Put them in a clean slate, brand new mindset going into the season. Don't worry about what's happened, because if what's happened has already happened, and there's nothing you can do about it, good, bad, or otherwise. But I think what we've seen a ton out of is just the buy-in from the players for Elko. And again, that's one of those buzzwords, right, that we say during camp. Yeah, everybody's bought in. But there have been reports in the offseason that there really has been a ton of buy-in. And so then it just comes down to, can Elko coach? Can Klein's offense put up numbers? And can the defense take another step forward? So obviously I'm excited about the season. It can't get here fast enough, kind of thing.
Well, it's literally like comparing. I mean, we use this all the time, but apples and oranges. Like when you compare the 2023 season to the 24 season, you're talking two different coaching staffs. You're talking a lot of different personnel. You're talking a lot of different just factors that are going to come into play. And really, you will have no clue what this team's actually capable of until they take the field on the 31st against Notre Dame. And the fact of the matter is, Notre Dame is a top level team this year, at least in preseason, ranked 7th to kick off the year. But fact is, we've seen it time and time again. These preseason rankings mean absolutely nothing. So what you got to do is just go in there and execute and see what you can do. And frankly, just giving Notre Dame a good game, one way or the other, whether we win it or not, will encourage a lot of fans, I have no doubt.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, a loss in the first game will it'll be hard to swallow, quite frankly.
Sure.
And so, again, I have no idea what it's going to look like. I mean, you can look at, you can look at like Klein's offense, and you can look at Elko's, what he did at Duke, but both of those guys are now operating with completely different levels of athletes.
Sure.
And so I think there's just, and obviously there's a ton of optimism, but we'll see. But I think a loss to Notre Dame in the opening game would really take a ton of wind out of the sails of the program.
Sure.
I think it's, I don't ever want to, I hate saying it's a must-win game. Like, I hate that phrase, because generally must-win games are when you're talking about, are you still in contention for the SEC title, or you're, shooting for the playoffs, and you've got to win it to stay in it, kind of thing. But man, with all the optimism and everything that's been building, it'd be tough to swallow losing to Notre Dame.
Well, I think the big one here is just the fact that it is, very first game of the season, brand new era, all that fun stuff. But at the same time, you are correct as far as the talent. I mean, there's no question. The talent level from, going from Duke to here is a big jump. And you do like our personnel. And obviously Connor Wegman is, as far as the quarterback that we're hoping to, just got to keep him healthy at this stage of the game. I'm hoping he does. But with the additional experience at the O-line, with the additional experience, honestly, across the defense, I mean, there's just a lot to look forward to. And even from the early scouting reports on Notre Dame, people are, kind of questioning their O-line strength, which is very good news for our D-line.
Well, and they had, I believe their left tackle got hurt in camp. And I mean, losing a left tackle is always debilitating for an offense. I mean, it's so the left tackle is so important, being the anchor really of protection. And you got to love, our defensive line and the defensive rush that we expect to field. Shamar Turner putting on 30 pounds, that is a frightening thought.
That's a lot of weight
Yeah,
and
if
muscle.
you're able to put on that kind of weight and it's all muscle, then that's just like that was a big dude to begin with. But yeah, ton of optimism for football. Obviously looking forward to looking forward to Aggie soccer as well. Looking forward to Premier League.
Yeah.
This is one of the years where it works out well. Yeah, you know, when we have that lull because baseball TV rights suck.
Yes, they
so
do.
When we have that lull in sports, yeah, this year we got the Olympics.
Yes, that is very true. On the baseball front, real quick, Silver Boots staying in Houston as it should.
Yet again.
Yet again. Isn't that fun? Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, Rangers fans.
I've been impressed with the Stros turnaround, obviously. Yeah. They're kind of meddling around a little bit. I went to the game last weekend, hence why we lost. That's pretty standard. But yeah, Jonna got us tickets for my birthday, so we went down to the ball. But it's always a good time to go to the ballpark, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when it's the pros, you realize that they play 162 a year or whatever their schedule is.
Yeah.
You know, so one game isn't the end all be all, you know, right after the All-Star break kind of thing. But there were some concerns watching. The pitching is not great. But the game I went to, they've still managed to keep they loaded the Stros loaded the bases in the first inning and didn't get anything out of it and lost the game 1-0. Like, come on, guy.
I'll do it. Yep.
Like, come on, guy. So yeah, lobsters, right? Doesn't matter what level. Friggin' lobsters.
We despise lobsters at all levels, except on a plate. I don't mind them on a plate, but other than that, just not the base pass, please. That'd be nice. But yeah. I did like the turnaround that we've. I mean, honestly, last couple of games in the pitching. I mean that looked really nice. But obviously, a lot of time. Well, got to get up through the end of September, so we still have about a couple months to close out the regular season to secure a spot in the playoffs and go on from there.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you know, it's tight, but, you know, part of it is you're kind of happy you play in the West where everybody's just kind of meddling a little bit over 500. And so there's opportunities there. And you know that the majority of your games are going to be against the West.
Right.
Which makes them more valuable.
Yes.
You know, but yeah. So, and I did get an Orbit bandana.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, they were doing a giveaway. This thing is hilarious.
That's awesome.
But it was also Kids Day at the park.
Ah.
So the music choices were interesting.
Oh.
And they put up a poll and they asked which song they wanted to hear during between one of the innings. Mm. And it was like Pokemon or SpongeBob. And SpongeBob got voted. And I was coming back down from concessions. And they literally, like, the entire stadium is singing the SpongeBob song.
Wow.
Well, and adults too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, probably most of the adults were singing as well. I wish I'd gotten video of it because it was hilarious.
I got to do my impression. Are you ready, kids? I had to do one. Just one good one.
It was hilarious, man. But yeah, so you know, just kind of getting towards the end of the summer too. You know, was able to take a vacation, a long vacation.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So it took about 2 weeks, and so well here the back of the story, the backstory. Every year I enter the lottery to get Masters tickets, and a tradition unlike any other. Every year I get denied. Sure. And last year I'm probably told this story. Last year, you know, the algorithm on X, like, it popped up with the Open Championship at Royal Tyrone, and they do a lottery the same way. So I entered it just thinking, yeah, whatever, you know. And my thought was, if I'm not greedy, maybe I'll get everything I asked for. And so I asked for tickets to the Wednesday practice round and tickets to the first round. Well, a month later, I get an email says, "Congratulations, you've been selected." And I was like, "Well, shit, looks like we're going to Scotland." So we planned this trip and we went, headed out on a Monday. You obviously got there on Tuesday. And we were staying, we actually stayed about 40, 45 minutes outside of Glasgow. It's called the Carmichael Estate. It was really neat, but you're secluded, man.
Nice.
You know, went to the practice round on Wednesday and Thursday. Then Friday we shot over to London. My daughter had never been to London. So we shot over to London and, I had a great time. And then Saturday, we shot over to Dublin.
Yeah, there you go.
And we actually, in London, we stayed just like at a Holiday Inn because I was like, I wanted to be down in the Abbey just so we didn't have to do a ton of cabs or anything like that. Just, you know, sure. Be near what we're trying to go look at. We went to the Churchill War Bunker, which is so, so cool.
Yeah.
Like if you ever go to London, like definitely go to the Churchill Bunker. It's right there in the Abbey. Unfortunately, the Abbey tickets were sold out. I didn't think they would be, but you know, in hindsight, it being the summer, it was stupid of me not to do it ahead of time. But yeah. And then so shot over to Dublin and we stayed at a little bed and breakfast near what's called, it's like 15 minutes from the airport, called the town of Swords. And the bed and breakfast was run by Jimmy and Mary, this couple, this older couple. And they are absolutely the greatest, most hilarious people on the planet. She asked us, you know, what are y'all here for? And I really have a reason. I said, well, we're over here on this side of the pond. So I figured I've never been to Ireland. Why not? I was like, tonight we're just going to go to the pubs and tear it down. She was like, yeah, I'll take you into town. You don't have to worry about getting a cab. And I was like, this is perfect. Sure. And she's driving us through town, like through Swords. And it's a kind of a quaint little town. And she's like pointing stuff out. She's like, yeah, that pub right there. You want to go to that one? Like that one, this. And then she drives by. Once she goes, that pub looks really nice on the outside. It's complete shit. She goes, they microwave all their food.
There you go.
But so we did some pub hopping, and I was wearing my bowling jacket, my Vice jacket, in one of the pubs. And this dude goes, Vice, huh? What do you think? I was wearing my jacket. I was like, oh yeah. He goes, you're a bowler. I said, oh yeah, yeah. He points across the pub and he's like, that guy right there, just like, he just won some big tournament in Russia or some crap like that.
Wow.
And so we ended up talking and we ended up becoming like, you know, vacation homies.
Oh yeah.
And his wife was like vacation homie with my wife. And so we ended up going to this other pub where all these bowlers were hanging out. And like, we just tore it down that night. It was a great, great time, but I can confirm that the Guinness that they send over here is definitely the stuff they mop off the floor.
No, Guinness over there is so good.
Yeah. Cause I'm not a big Guinness fan. And the only Guinness I've ever had has been here in the States. And then, we went over there and got a Guinness and like all three of us loved it. My daughter, wife, and others are Guinness people and absolutely loved it. I'm fairly certain the Jameson is different. I put down a lot of Jameson. Yep. I don't generally drink Jameson, but yeah, just had a great time in Ireland. Then we, you know, on Monday we rolled into like Dublin proper and did a little sightseeing and then hopped a flight back to Scotland, did castles, did Stirling, did Edinburgh. Stirling Castle's like super groovy. The town of Stirling is really pretty.
Yes,
it is. We did the William Wallace Monument, was awesome. Like 274 steps to the top because there's no elevator. Like it's a stone spiral staircase. It was built in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. So we got our steps in. I'll put it that way. With everything we did, but we saw a bunch of castles and just really had a great time. The open was so much fun. I'm done Christmas shopping. Before I left, I sent like a straight up spreadsheet to my family. I'm like, do you want a hat? Yes, no. You want a shirt? Yes, no. If so, what's your size? You know, like, do you want a golf ball? And so I'm done Christmas shopping this year.
Perfect. See?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, minus Kieran and Megan. So, so that's easily, you know, the earliest I've ever finished Christmas shopping, July basically. But it was such a great trip, man. Coming back was tough. I had no desire to be here. We got back and the flight back was such a pain. We had multiple layovers on the way there, actually we had a 9-hour layover in Amsterdam. And so we left the airport and went and did like a canal tour and had lunch and kind of saw a little bit of Amsterdam. So that was really neat too.
My little brother was just out there in Amsterdam. He said it was awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool city. I don't know that I'd go back to Amsterdam, but it's really cool. Like it's definitely a go see kind of place. But yeah, so that was kind of my trip, my vacation for the year. You know, generally we just go camping or fishing or, you know, we don't really take vacations. So it was really kind of our first family vacation. Yeah. Had a blast. Everybody had a blast and I could go back to Scotland 100%.
Love Scotland, love Ireland. Man, the people in Ireland are just so, so cool. I mean,
everybody in Scotland and everybody in Ireland were absolutely the nicest people on the planet. Yeah. Londoners are Londoners, but I know that.
Yeah, no, Scotland, Ireland. I mean, that was my senior trip, was doing basically 2 weeks over there in both countries. Oh my God. We'd go back 100 times. The only things, yeah, we didn't make it down to London. We didn't really make it into England proper. So that's going to have to be the next time around that I'm out there for sure. But
Yeah, London's a great trip, but London's one of those where one, it's super expensive. Like London is just so expensive. So it's one of those where, go to London, but also, go to Paris.
yeah.
Because you can take a high speed train between the two. Obviously the train system over there. So, but yeah, I mean, we didn't do a ton in London. We weren't there for very long. It was just kind of jet setting. Looking back, initially I wanted to be in London an extra day, but like after the time that we had in Ireland, like I'd go back to Ireland just to stay with Jimmy and Mary and like hang out in Swords. Seriously.
Oh yeah, no. I'm saying if I can re recommend a town to go hang out in, if you're ever back in Ireland, Kilkenny, which is not that far away from Dublin. Great town. But honestly, everywhere we went in Ireland was a blast.
Yeah. Speaking of sports, actually, we were at the Open, and near the end of the first day, we were getting ready to leave. And I was like, "Hey, I want to find out because the Aggie, Jaime Montalvo was he qualified. He's gonna be a sophomore this year. He's literally the same age as my daughter.
Wow.
Qualified for the Open, and so we went and sat at the first tee until it was because he was like one of the last tee times. And so he teed off, and we start following him, and we're literally right there taking pictures when on the first hole because he pipes it down the fairway, and then he jars it for an eagle on his first hole of the Open, and we
Wow.
were standing right there. It was so awesome. So we walked up, and one of his teammates was his caddy, and like when he walked out to the tee box, I yelled, "Gig him!" And he looked up and smiled, and got over to the green, and it's these are kind of the no name tee times at this time of the day,
Right.
and so there's not a ton of people following him. And we get to the green, he grabs his ball, and he's standing off the side of the green while the other guys are putting and standing there. And he looks over, and I like gave him a gig him, and he gave him a gig him back. So he didn't make the cut, but what an amazing experience. He had two eagles on the day.
I mean, considering, you're hitting eagles at the Open as a sophomore in college, like who can say that? Like I there's just no way I could
I
ever.
don't know. I don't know that he's qualified for any other professional tournaments before. So if this was his first one, literally his first professional event that he qualified for was the Open Championship, and the first hole he knocks it like he holds it from the fairway. So he eagles the first hole of his professional, well, not career though, because he's still an amateur,
Right.
but yeah, that was really neat to see. He had a really good family contingency there following him too. So but yeah, and then so all the regulars. And speaking of golf, the Olympic golf was bonkers.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler going out and tying a course record on Sunday to win. That's big balls in Cowtown kind of stuff, man.
Is.
And he is not generally a very emotional person, and so to see him break down a little bit on the medals podium was pretty neat. But yeah, that was really fun to watch.
But yeah,
And I
Olympics.
love the Olympics, man.
Yeah, Olympics. We were going to get into it. Let's go ahead and get into it a bit.
In fact, the reason that we delayed this recording is because I was watching the U.S. women's volleyball team finish up against Brazil, which was two of the global powerhouses in volleyball on men and women's side.
Oh, yeah.
And the women, it went to five sets, and it was like straight up just a heavyweight brawl. And the women won it, so they'll be playing for gold on Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was a fun match to watch. I have watched a ton of the Olympics. I've been just been fortunate to be able to. We got home basically. We missed most of the opening ceremony, but we were home once the event started. Minus the ones that have to start before the opening ceremony, just because it takes so long to get through.
Right.
But yeah, watched a ton of swimming. I don't think I really missed much swimming. Like if it was on TV, I watched it.
Oh, Ledecky, my God.
Ledecky's ridiculous. Marchand from France is unreal.
Unreal.
He's been a joy to watch, quite frankly. He seems like just a super good kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the duel in the pool between us and the Aussies, and we
Yep.
pulled out more medals. And so I watched a little bit of diving, although generally we don't compete very well in diving, which is unfortunate. But
That's yeah.
I tell you one thing I do like watching though is the synchronized diving. I think that's super groovy. Like it's so impressive, the synchronized diving. Watched a ton of the gymnastics, obviously. Saw our pommel horse specialist go out there. Watch the women just go out there and crush it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
With Simone Biles, just showing up and doing her thing. That's literally what that's just it's she's the best of all time, pretty much.
Yep.
But yeah, and then track and field is always fun. And then trying to keep up with Aggies here and there in different events, but yeah, it's been a fascinating. I don't know if you watched the men's 1500 final.
Yeah, I did catch that. Yeah.
That race was bonkers. And then like all the pre-race stuff that they were talking, I didn't realize the two best dudes in the world, the Norwegian and the German, like they apparently hate each other. And
Yeah.
it's like a legit beef. And so obviously because it was one is the gold medal champion, the other one's the world champion. And like all this back and forth. So I thought it was absolutely hilarious that the winner is neither.
Right. It's incredible how it works that way sometimes.
What a close.
Yeah.
What an absolute close by that dude. That was stuff of legends, man.
Yeah. What was he was like a 21-1 long shot to win or something like that? It was ridiculous.
So that I thought that race was, And then did you see the 400 final last night?
I did not. How'd that go down?
You go back and look at, no, I don't think I've ever seen anybody come from that far back to win a race,
Okay.
not a
Duh.
400. So yeah, that one was also bonkers.
Bonkers, definitely the word of the Olympics at times, especially.
Yeah, no, it's been so much fun, and I love being able to watch it and watch world records, and then every Olympics there's always just some crazy storylines that are so fun to follow, like the shooter from Turkey that apparently like all the other shooters were complaining because all he does is show up like just knock it out of the park and then just ask where he can go burn heaters.
Hold my beer real quick. I'm gonna go shoot this, then I'm gonna go smoke a dart, you know? Like,
That's apparently all he does is he just shoots and just smokes.
and I love the fact that such a natural shooter, and above all that, apparently had not really gotten competitive shooting until like 2 years ago.
Yeah, the story behind it, I think I read this, he was in an argument or something with his now ex-wife, I believe,
Yeah, that's what it
and he
was.
needed to blow off some steam, so he decided to go shoot, and he realized that he was pretty good at it.
It's like,
Now, if that story's true, I have a question.
yeah.
If you get in an argument with your wife, why is the first thing you think about is shooting? That seems bad. Like for that to be kind of your, I really need to go. I just got into it, with the wife over taking the trash out. I need to go grab my gun. Like they have an entire ID network for these shows, like for this situation. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe he just didn't have like a available break room or something too close by to go blow
Yeah,
off
I
some
don't know,
steam.
man.
I said I do love a good break room if you've ever been to one. Those are actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
Smash.
the smash rooms,
So,
whatever we call them.
oh, so good. There's a couple here in town. Take advantage. Yeah, we did some filming for one when I was still with Texas Media Foundry. We did some promotional work for them, so that was fun. Yeah.
But yeah, so the Olympics, they always give us some great storylines, and I
Oh.
also love the fact that all the reporters and everything really do a lot of back work to learn about these athletes and really kind of give them a give them a spotlight on more than just their sports. I had a thought and I put it on because whenever anything pops in my head, I put it on X apparently.
Sure.
I'd like to see stuff like the real smaller, not as followed sports, but there really aren't they're not specific to summer or winter, like wrestling, boxing, powerlifting, stuff like that. I think those should be in every Olympics.
Sure. I mean, makes sense. I mean, you're in a, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't.
It's a controlled environment,
Yeah.
give them a chance to shine a little bit more frequently. That Cuban wrestler, that's unbelievable what he, I don't know if you saw that. He's like the heavyweight guy, won five straight gold medals. Obviously retired, right at the end of the match, but
I mean,
to win
fair.
five straight gold medals in any discipline is—I mean, it's never been done before. Just him.
Yeah,
So
it's
Katie
impressive.
Ledecky's going to have to come back to tie that.
That's the idea, right? Well, and Lord knows she's talented enough. I mean, she potentially could.
That's just the thought of swimming that far makes me want to barf.
That's a lot of swimming.
I would literally be dead.
Yeah, we just had ourselves. So this past weekend, me and my father, we were re-upping on our scuba diving certifications. We were sitting in that water for 3 hours while we were going over all these old drills and everything, and it just reminded me of, swimming around as much as we were swimming around, how much it does take out of you, especially once you're down in the water. Granted, I mean,
Swim.
it's wild.
It's a legit sport. I mean, when they get out of the pool to do the interviews, they're no different than, when they're talking to guys and your girls that are, crossing the finish line on track. I mean, it's an all-out grind. So yeah, I've loved the Olympics. I think they've been incredibly entertaining from a sport value point. The whole triathlon stuff with the river has been such a mess.
Oh, no question.
Well, and apparently, like, a bunch of Parisians have been just so sick of all the preparations. Everything they had to go through, and this, like, the streets they were shutting off, and how they, like, apparently they designated different areas as different zones. And so if you're in certain zones, you only have the ability to move around, so much. And I guess enough Parisians got pretty pissed off, and they, like, literally took dumps in the river.
Eve.
Yeah, so that's why the water quality was an issue. And then so the water quality was okay, and then it rained, and, like, all the sewage and crap, washed back into the river. And so they do the check. Again, they finally okay it for the women's triathlon, and which looked absolutely brutal, because swimming upstream, it looks like they're hardly moving. It's almost like being in one of those infinity pools, like the infinity jets. So it's like a, compact little lap pool, so you can just swim against the jet. Yeah. And so then one of them ends up getting E. coli, though, and goes to the hospital. So, like, yeah, nothing goes off without a couple of hitches. But
I think I'm good.
yeah, big time. So that was, like, quite literally a shit show. Thank you very much. I'll see myself out.
Dad joke of the day goes to Roy May.
Check and check.
Check and check.
But yeah, so I've enjoyed it, and it's always, it feels like the Olympics is going to go on forever, and then all of a sudden it's just over. So yeah, there's not a lot left for the Olympics. But yeah, and then it kind of goes full focus on college football and Premier League, which, again, like I said, really looking forward to this weekend, actually. So my birthday was yesterday's the 7th. My dad's birthday is the 12th, and so it's my dad's 80th birthday this year. So yeah, heading down to spring. We're throwing a party for him, and I'm cooking for the party. So,
80 is a big number, so that's awesome.
yeah. And I looked at, I was looking at catering, because I was like, yeah, I'll just take the lazy way out and cater. I'm looking at the prices. I'm like, no, this is insane. And it got me thinking. I'm gonna totally go off on a tangent here. There have been a lot of barbecue restaurants. I think we might have talked about this. There have been a lot of barbecue restaurants that have been shutting the doors because prices have gotten so high, and the margins are already razor thin in barbecue. Like, it's barbecue is just a tough industry to be in, and it's gotten way tougher. And there's some long time, like, there are ones that are on the top 50 list, Texas Monthly top 50, that have closed permanently. And so, but yeah, so I looked at catering prices, like, out of your friggin' mind. So I'll just do it myself. I can do it. I'm cooking for 80 people, and they're all, like, the majority of them are around 80. So
Probably.
it's not like I got to bring a ton of food to this.
No, I think you'll be okay. You're probably not out here trying to save a country at this stage of the game. You got
Yeah.
it covered.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun.
But
Yeah, as far as band shenanigans, last few weeks have been fun. We did Corpus Christi and Terrell a few weeks ago. Those were both fun. Then we went back to Waco up there at the backyard. We were off this past weekend, which was nice, although Carson had a baby shower and was wanting to go blow off steam, so he invited some of us down to go shoot. So got to go run down there with my Daniel Defense AR-15 and finally get that thing sighted in, which was nice. So got to do that.
yeah, I'm actually kind of looking into a build right now myself,
Ooh.
over with Circle Arm or Circle Firearms.
Cool.
So, yeah, went in and had a real long talk with him before we went on vacation. So yeah, but I need to go shooting, that's for sure.
Yes. So I'm actually very, very quickly getting my hands on a new rifle that I wanted to get a hold of. And it's Something I've been wanting to use for hunting, something I've actually looked at for a while now, and went to a pawn shop. Sure enough, there it was there, so I threw it on layaway for a minute, and I'll come back and snag it later. It's a Henry 3030 lever action. So wanted to get a hold of one of those for a while, and sure enough, found one. So I was like,
Nice.
"Ooh!" And the
I
price
love
wasn't bad.
lever action. I love lever action rifles.
Me too. Hadn't shot one in a really, really long time, but I've always loved how they feel and how they shoot,
Yeah.
and I mean, they're pretty darn reliable for especially the technology they are, you know.
Yeah.
So
Absolutely.
definitely wanted to get a hold of one of those, but yeah, we got that rolling for us as we move forward through this week. So me and my boys, we're heading out to Bandera. We're gonna be playing out there at the Cowboy Bar. So if you're in the area, they're just west of San Antonio. I'd love to see you. Going up to Colorado for a couple of shows on the 16th and the 17th. I'm playing in Springs in the Moxie Theater. And for everybody else down here in Texas, get geared up for August 23rd, Hurricane Harry's headline. First headline of the fall at Harry's. Come on and party with us. It should be a lot
That
of fun.
is right around the corner, man.
Hard to believe, you know, time flying now.
Yeah, this summer has really ripped by. I mean, obviously going on vacation and just, that you want to talk about time that flies by is definitely when you're on vacation because that's when you want it to slow down. So that's why it speeds up is what it feels like. But yeah, all right. So we'll kind of I'm gonna do this right quick. What are, because we're in summer ball at this point, right?
We are.
So, what are the two things you need to see, one on offense and one on defense? What are the two things not need to see or maybe you're expecting to see
Okay.
for this season, like the standout aspects, one on offense, one on defense.
Okay, offense, I really want to see that O-line just lock it up. That would be, I mean, just step up from last year's performance, provide protection for our quarterbacks, running backs. Skill players. I mean, that's your job, something you do very well, something that I have full confidence we will see growth from, especially from last season. That's the big one on the offensive side of the ball. As far as defense, live up to the hype. I think with the amount of talent that we are seeing on pass defense, pass rush, I think if we can become a menace like everybody seems to think we might be, I would like our chances to maybe sneak out a few extra wins we weren't expecting to see.
Yeah, I've got look at the season. I feel like 8-4 is kind of floor.
Yep.
I think 8-4 would be a disappointment. But 8 or 9, one of those is the floor for me. I there's so much talent on this roster and combining that with what we know of Mike Elko and how he runs programs.
Yeah.
I think you've got to be excited. As long as we can keep Connor Wegman healthy. So that's like my key on offense is Connor Wegman being healthy, man.
Right.
There's enough talent around him. So I mean that kind of ties into yours in the sense like
Exactly.
O-line needs to do their job so he can stay healthy. But I think if Connor Wegman stays healthy, we're gonna see a special season with him and Colin Klein's offense. Excuse me. On the defense, I mean, I want to see more sacks. But really, you know what? The key for me actually this year is going to be the turnover battle. Like I want to see a much, much higher turnover ratio as a whole across the season. We need to be taking the ball away every game.
I agree.
You eliminate one possession for the opposing team and you gain a possession for your team.
Right.
And knowing how high powered Colin Klein's offense can be, if you can just give him back the ball,
Right.
right?
Well,
And so I would.
go ahead.
The takeaways are my like huge thing on defense. That has got to improve this year.
Yep. That, and I mean, especially if you do find yourself in a situation where you're backed up, limiting damage. I think just, forcing field goals, forcing fourth down conversions, making them have to fight for it. Don't just let them walk in the end zone if you don't have to.
Yeah, the red zone conversion on both sides of the ball is obviously such an important metric. it's not just you want to have a high clip of touchdowns as an offense, but on defense, you really want to be forcing as many field goals as possible, or even takeaways. Again, things get compact down there in the red zone. It gives you a little bit more opportunity for takeaways.
Well, and I'm just excited at the fact that we actually have a head coach that is background in defense for the first time in a really, really long time.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference. It really does.
It does.
And I think it makes a difference for a lot of reasons. I think the mentality of defensive-minded coaches is different than offensive-minded coaches in the sense that they're just grittier. You know, they're more kind of just meat and potatoes, like you know, fundamentals and because offensive-minded coaches, and we've seen really love the flash, right?
Sure.
They love the flash and pizzazz. Defensive coaches just want to grind.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's, you know, you can't apply that across the board, but it just seems like defensive coaches when you know, defensive minded coaches, when they become head coaches, the program really is different right. than offensive minded. Cause look at Sumlin, look at Jimbo. Can you really tell me that many differences between those two eras?
Not like, much.
Within Bright. You know, so I think that's where we'll all be pleasantly surprised the more and more we hear it. Cause we've already heard plenty. And you hear about the players, you know, really buying in and not missing off-season workouts and doing the work that they're supposed to be doing on their end. Yep. You know, as opposed to what we heard about players missing workouts all the time, being late to practice. And, you know, it feels like when you're an offensive-minded coach and you become a head coach, like you baby the superstars. You know, you run a loose program, like loose and fast, right? And sometimes that'll work, sometimes it doesn't. But when you get a defensive-minded coach, it's locked down a little bit. You know, it's discipline and it is grit. And I mean, Nick Saban's a great example. You want to talk about a no-bullshit program, that's what he ran at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? And obviously cut his teeth on the defensive side of the ball. So I think we'll all be pleasantly surprised, especially, you know, those of us Aggies that really remember the Wrecking Crew and those kind of those powerhouse days of A&M football.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to feel the defense, you know, two-thirds as good as the Wrecking Crew this year.
Yeah. And, I mean, for me, I'm just limited possessions on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, get out of those, you know, force three and outs, max, you know, four or five plays a drive if you can limit those. I mean, literally cut down those drives and force the ball back to the, you know, to the side of the ball that's going to go out there and score more.
Yeah, I am really excited to see our offense because, you know, and again, between Sumlin and Jimbo, yeah, we saw flash. I mean, you can kind of take Johnny out of the mix because really with Johnny, you're not even calling an offense.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny was just an X factor, let's be honest.
Yeah. But with Jimbo kind of being a little bit more pro style, but he really wasn't pro style because, in you know, pro style offenses have motion.
Right.
And so I think we'll all be excited to see motion and see Colin Klein's offense. You know, if you want to look up Kansas State clips, go ahead, man.
Yeah. Well, it's a brand new team. I mean, it really is. And from the ground up, as far as what the foundation of this team looks like, as far as what we are trying to push out there, as far as our talent, as far as our skills, is what we are really trying to do with this strategy at this stage of the game. It's very different. And I think it's going to show.
Yeah, 100%. excuse me. So I think there's a lot of excitement there. You know, one thing we haven't mentioned, volleyball.
Yeah, you know,
volleyball is obviously the fall sport on the women's side. And they had a great first year under Jamie Morrison, I thought.
Yep.
And it's great to see, you know, Jamie Morrison and then Joni Taylor. You know, Joni Taylor's out coaching with Team USA. Jamie Morrison was out coaching. It might have been like – I want to say he's somewhere involved in I think the under 18 or like a youth team with Team USA, and they won a championship. So I love seeing them going out, and you know, our coaches are of the caliber that they're coaching outside of just their job, right?
Right.
Like if you have your baseball coach gets to be one of the coaches that coaches Team USA, I think that speaks incredibly well of a program, and not to mention Joni and Jamie, working with youth people. I mean, that's kind of recruiting. You know, you're recruiting a little bit at that point, you know, when you're able to coach them and you coach them to success.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there should be excitement for the volleyball program.
Yep.
And soccer, it's just, can they get over the hump kind of thing? I haven't really poured into soccer just yet for this year, but I'll do that before we record again and kind of do the just fire through the roster. And
yeah,
I believe they've got another scrimmage this weekend. So we'll have a couple scrimmage data points. think it's at SMU.
Yeah, they're scrimmaging at SMU today. So we
today.
should, so we will see some info on that right before our first home game, which will be against Denver on the 21st. We will hope we will be at Lamar on the 15th, and that'll be the first official game of the season. But yeah, we'll definitely do a deep dive on the Aggie soccer that is coming. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the vault. You know, things are about to get crazy again.
Oh, I'm already starting to feel it. I mean, you see the moving trucks in town. I mean, all of a sudden the restaurants aren't as easy to get into around
Yeah.
lunchtime.
Crap.
The joys of being the summer College Station socialites here, you know?
Yeah, that's all coming to an end within the next week.
Yep. But I mean, that's good for me because all of a sudden a lot of people are in town for a show on the 23rd. So y'all come party.
Well, it's good for the city. It really is.
It is.
But that's coming down the pipeline, unfortunately.
It
So
is.
back
It is.
back to taking a little bit longer to get everywhere.
Yep. As far as new music, I'll get an update for y'all. We're trying to figure out kind of a strategy on what we're releasing, release schedule. We had been saying September for the album. We're kind of evaluating that right now, just trying to play around with what needs to come out when. Just good
Gotcha.
strategy because unfortunately, this game of music, as we love it, it is a very fickle game, and you have to play it as smoothly as you can. You can't be releasing stuff the same day that a really, really big artist is putting something out. You can't be releasing stuff, at certain times of the year. It all just, it's a lot going on. So just trying to get a good strategy as we're getting ready to put this music out. But yeah, as soon as we have music ready to roll, I'll let y'all know on the album stuff. But
Yeah, I'll give a little teaser too. So a colleague of mine, there, well, teammate, excuse me, a teammate of mine, we got a line on something that we're going to be sponsoring for the TU game. It's going to be a
Ooh.
it's going to be a big barbecue tailgate. I think it's supposed to be feeding like between 1,000 and 1,500 people. And so as I get more information on that, we're working on getting the sponsorship set up. But as I get more information on that, and obviously that's a ways away, right? But I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, and it'll be a really big tailgate. And then hopefully, as we give sponsorships, I believe they're going to give us some tickets.
Cool.
So we might be doing a ticket giveaway on the podcast.
Okay, that sounds exciting. Very, very
So
cool.
yeah, so just kind of as we get closer and I get more information. But yeah, I'm trying to line up a couple more sponsors. If you want to be a sponsor, please reach out to us. You know, if you sponsor, obviously you'll have access to it, and it's going to be a huge barbecue tailgate before the SIP game.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. That's gonna be a great weekend. I need to
That
triple
weekend is
check.
going to be insane.
Yeah. What? I need to triple check what day that is because I think Carson's actually off that day. I think it's the 30th, so that's Saturday. Okay, let's triple check the schedule here, see if we have that weekend blocked. It's not blocked currently, as the weekend before blocked when we're playing at Auburn, but we'll see. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Who knows what'll be going on.
Yeah, right. I would think you'd be able to get away with not doing anything.
No, yeah. So we've played a couple shows on Thanksgiving, like the Saturday or Friday after a couple of times since I've been in the band. Other times we've had it off.
Yeah.
This is all right before we're going to be going to December. Fun. We are going to Vegas, which I'm pumped for. That'll be for the NFR. One more little tidbit: last Green Hall show before Christmas on Saturday the 21st. We are headlining out there. So if you're in New Braunfels area. We are definitely going to be playing out there at Green Hall. Should be a lot of fun. And we may have a surprise special encore from a song from a very special Aggie that we all love if you all stick around for that.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So, anyhow, anything else going on this week?
No, just working, man. It's
Yep.
getting back into the grind. I mean, I don't think I've ever taken it. No, I've taken a vacation this long before. But yeah, probably it was the same. It takes me weeks to get fully back into it, and
Fair.
you know, I'm sending out emails and texts to my clients like, "Hey, I'm back."
Y'all ready to work?
But for next week, we'll have more on football, and we'll have the soccer dive, deep dive into well, as deep as we can dive into it with the info that we get,
Oh, yeah.
and just kind of go through the roster and maybe do a little SEC preview on soccer, since they generally get, they're the first ones that get going every year. They, their season always starts early. So yeah, we'll do soccer next week and we'll talk a little bit more about football. Maybe we'll break down one side of the ball, as opposed to the other. And then with the next one, so we'll do offense next week. And then the following week, we can do the defense, defense and special teams, just kind of going through the roster and the proposed two deep and three deep. But yeah, man, just farting along, getting ready to, I gotta go to the store and get everything for this party and start doing my catering math, which catering is like riding a bike, but it's a bike that I never wanted to ride again. So hopefully this is the last one. But yeah, I mean, I'm cooking for 80 people. It's nothing.
You'll be fine. Well, if you're in the Bandera area, West Side San Antonio, and you want to come hang out with us this weekend, please do. Be sure to check us out on socials. That's Red Ass Podcast, both on X as well as on Instagram. Be sure to go give us follows there. Share this podcast with somebody that you think might enjoy it. I mean, we're always about expanding this little party that we're trying to get going. It's been nice to see more interaction, especially ahead of this season. So, if you guys have anything else that you want to kind of fire in, some questions, thoughts that you had about this podcast, be sure to comment. We'd be love to, I mean, I'd love to respond to those. But
Yeah, we love topics that you guys want to have covered. Jonna mentioned something about the thoughts of the Premier League season. So we're gonna bump that one to next week because signings aren't quite complete. Yeah, there's still some kind of stuff up in the air. So we're gonna bump, but we are gonna talk Premier League next week. So
Yes, lots of soccer next week.
yes, soccer. Did you I don't know if you saw what I put out. Like, I think I figured out why we call it soccer.
No.
We're definitely not playing the same sport as everybody else.
Definitely
The women
not.
look good. The women look good.
They always do, but
Well, I tell you what, the women had two interesting matches. I mean, they haven't been against slouches by any means, but just kind of real rough. And I remember Julie Foudy, on the commentator, talking about how the matches are super close together. It's like every 2 or 3 days, or every 3 days, and they're in different cities. And so that's something that I thought was really interesting for men and the women, and she was ranting about it, like straight up ranting about it. Like she said, it's dangerous. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, it's not a ton different than the Premier League playing 2 a week.
It really isn't. I mean, yeah, a lot of times they're doing 2 weeks. Sometimes they're playing a Wednesday, then a Friday. I mean, I've seen that, you know.
So it's, I don't know.
It'll be
I feel
interesting.
like because they've shown that they can do it in the Premier League, and then you also add in Champions League and all this other stuff. Since the Premier League can do it, I guess they just assume everybody can. But everybody's playing on the same tired leg, so it's not like there's an advantage.
Okay, guys. Well,
But
we're gonna go ahead and get this thing wrapped up. Once again, follow us on those socials. Be sure to follow us individually too. That'd be cool. That's Rob the Slapper and Roy May 15. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of the rest of the summer, and let's get this thing rolling.
thank you.
Later.